Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is November 2nd, 2017. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most still just don't get it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight if you haven't already. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, live on YouTube, and on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. Pray about that, because remember, folks, this program, while you hear sponsors or whatever, they're not sponsors of the program. Those are AVR bot commercials. So that means we don't sell anything, and so the only reason we stay on the air is because you donate to us to stay on the air. On another note, let's take our listener base in places like Munich, Germany, Tokyo, Japan, Amsterdam, the Netherlands, Sydney, Australia, Stockholm, Sweden, and, of course, cities in the good old USA such as Tulsa, Oklahoma, Newark, New Jersey, Jacksonville, Florida, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, Nevada. These are just to name a few, of course. Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. Now a prayer, and we're going to talk about some great things tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, first I pray for all the victims of whether it's the storms or the fires or the shootings. All these, I pray for their quick recovery, but more than that, I pray this country goes to repentance so that you don't completely lift your hand of protection from this country. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours, and give everyone out there ears to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight. In your son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. We're going to talk about several things tonight. We never really know exactly what direction this program will go when we have tonight's guest on. He is Frank Stephan. He's the founder of AVR. He happens to be also the producer. So if there's any malfunctions, you know who to blame it on, right? Well, he also has his hit program called The Frank Report, where Frank talks Frank about frankly everything. Right. Okay. Well, tonight we're going to do some talking. So, Frank, are you there with me?
I am.
I wonder how many times I said Frank. I have to count that.
I don't know. You do the best you can saying it as much as you can.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's just something about Frank talking. Frank, because you do. You talk frankly. You give it from the heart. You tell people, you know, hey, you're kind of like Trump that way in his Twitter account. Because really, because Trump just shoots out what he thinks, and Frank, you do the same thing.
Yeah, it's paid off for him a little better than me, though, you know, so.
Yeah, but I hear it may be going to pay off for you. What's this about Salt Lake?
Oh, yeah, my show's going to be on Saturday and Sunday it might be 5:40 a.m. in Salt Lake City.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not actually in Salt Lake City, but it covers that area.
Right. I get it. They talk about general areas. Well, when's that going to happen?
This Saturday. The first one. And plus, I want to also say that here on ABR on Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific time, which, you know, that's 9 a.m. Eastern, which is, more reasonable as far as I'm concerned. I'm not really a morning guy, but we have a new show coming on, too, that is based out of Utah. It's a health show. And I'm looking for the name because, you know, this is new to me, too. So I don't know. I have to look it up for you. But it's a health show, and it's pretty good. It's good. It's really good. You should hear it. We have quite a few health shows on this network, and, that's because, Dan, we have quite a few pastors on this network, too, and then we talk a lot about politics. And that's the mix that, I think works because, without your health, you really don't focus on much of anything else except, man, I feel sick, I feel bad, I feel weak, I feel tired, I don't feel good, you don't want to do anything, you don't want to go to church, you don't want to go to work, you don't want to do anything when you're sick. So it's important to know how to keep yourself healthy and get yourself healthy if you are feeling bad. And, of course, the pastors are on because, hey, without God, without the Father, being sick or being healthy or being rich or being free doesn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely. If you feel bad, you're not going to care much about doing anything about the things that you're going to learn about and so on and so forth. So, yeah, health is dramatically important, and let alone the kinds of health facts that you put out, or that the station puts out, is really better for you than going to the doctor, basically, is it not?
It's for the people who don't trust allopathic medicine. And there's more and more and more evidence almost every minute coming out as to why not to trust allopathic medicine. And I'm sorry to say that, over decades of lying to people and feeding them poisons that really don't do anything except basically kill their pain and cover their symptoms and really don't address any of the underlying problems, it's no wonder that eventually people are catching on and saying, I got to do something different. And, doing something different, they like to call it alternative medicine, but it's not alternative. Hey, this allopathic drug, company-run medicine is the alternative. Before them, before Rockefeller got coal tar out of the ground and started saying, hey, you can eat this, it's really good for you, and it'll help you. Before that, hey, herbal medicine was the medicine.
Yeah.
It's not an alternative. It is the original. It is the medicine. And if you look in the Bible, which I'm sure you have, Dan, but it does say in there that herbs are meat to us. Herbs are here for the benefit of man. Everything, with a seed and this, it goes on and on. I mean, there's quite a bit about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was just, I came across actually a couple articles today I was reading, but one of them that stood out for me, and I had been thinking this, especially after the doctor, let's just go like this. I came down, I had bronchitis, and I ended up with, I had asthma, because, I'm not lying. When I was in the world, I smoked till I was 29, and I quit when I was 29, but about 10 years ago, it came on me with like a vengeance, and I had, I came down with what they finally diagnosed me as having asthma, which I don't even think that's accurate. But to make a long story short, so I was told by one of the ladies at the church, they said, well, Pastor Dan, you're not feeling very good. I know you got an appointment with the doctor, but you can go to the emergency room and they'll give you a breathing treatment like they do my son, and you'll be able to breathe and maybe you can get through Passover, because I was trying to get through, doing the Passover meal. Anyway, so make a long story short, I went once, and yeah, they gave me a breathing treatment, but it wore off after a couple of days, and so I went back after a couple of days again. Well, I went to the same emergency room, but this time the intern decided that because I had shortness of breath, that it was related to a heart problem. And I said, no, I've got it, this is what it is, and no. And so, they ran some tests, and they can do a blood test. Now, that's pretty neat. They can do a blood test and see if you've had some kind of a heart thing, it'll show up in a blood test. But no, it came back that there was I hadn't had a heart thing. Well, okay, so they finally convinced me that I needed to stay over the night and do a treadmill the next day. And, you know, they had me spooked and scared and such, and my wife, you know, and everything. So I said, okay, what's it going to hurt? I'll stay overnight, and I'll get up, walk the treadmill. They'll see it's not my heart. They'll treat me for my for whatever it is I got wrong with my lungs. I thought it was bronchitis. And then, you know, I'll be good. Well, Frank, the next day, by the next morning, they had me scheduled, without any other thing, they had me scheduled to go to surgery to get a stent because they said that I had a heart problem. Now, and nothing other than I had shortness of breath had showed up that I needed, you know, would need a stent or I had blockage. And so I said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to take your test or I'm going to get up and leave now. And so anyway, they gave me the test, the treadmill test and everything, and I passed it with flying colors. And so later on, about 2 hours after the test, the doctor come in, this treating physician, and said, well, you know, we're going to treat you for your asthma, and then we're going to let you go. And I said, great. Well, then the heart doctor came in, and he said, he kind of looked at the floor, and he just kind of had an attitude, and he laid his card down on the thing, and he said, well, he said, the reason I said that you needed a stent, he says, because, you know, you're a diabetic, and because you're a diabetic, all diabetic patients become heart patients, and so we would have went in there and looked around. If you didn't need it, we wouldn't have gave it to you. Yeah, right.
I just want to dig around in your chest.
Yeah, well, I'm got it scheduled to put a stent in you. Okay, well, you know, I know several people since then that's had them, and they never come out the same, you understand?
Well, hey, Dan, let me read you a headline, and this is right off of the Drudge Report, okay?
Okay.
Stents often useless. Cardiologist stunned.
Article. Go ahead. That's the article I was going to... Go ahead.
Stents often useless. Cardiologist stunned. That's the headline. Useless, stunned. Oh, boy, yeah. What a surprise. Who knew? I mean, when a guy tells you that, oh, look, we're just going to go in your chest, crack it open, dig around, and see what we can see, and if you need one, we'll give you one. If not, we won't. I'm sorry. That's the guy. Don't tell me you're stunned. Don't tell me you didn't know. You knew. You're telling people we're going to crack your chest open and go look around. What kind of a thing is that?
That's off the wall crazy. And the story doesn't even end then. You know, then so I go to the doctor and they tell me that, you know, I've got, I'm going to have COPD. I'm not getting any better. And end of story. It's over with for me. I'm headed to oxygen.
Well, hey, did they give you the hospice card? Here's the card to hospice
almost,
just to save you some time.
Almost, brother, almost. And, you know, they gave me breathing treatments at home and all these different things. And I was literally losing my voice. I didn't know if I was going to be able to continue even with radio. And so I prayed about it, and I looked up on a TV, and there was a thing about this president. I think it was Truman that when he was young had asthma, and his dad forced him into exercising because he said he wasn't going to have a pump for a son that, you know, whatever. Point was, so I took that as, okay, well, I'll go to the gym. Well, you know, this is almost 10 years later, 8 years later, whatever, and I am now stronger than I've ever been in my life. I'd never run when I first got to the gym. I could jump in a swimming pool. I could make it about half a car length before I ran out of wind. Now I do 3 hours and a half at the gym because it's greatly pleasurable. I do a bunch of different things, but I am not out of wind. Yeah, truthfully, I can feel there's something there, and if I stop exercising after a couple of weeks, then, you know, I can feel it creeping back. But as long as I exercise, I'm doing really, really good. And so the cure wasn't any other drugs. The cure wasn't a stent. The cure was simply being active. Back to you.
Well, yeah. I mean, and there's, you know, this is one story of one thing that they said this is what you should have. That is clearly, you know, that's just like me saying, well, Dan, you know what? Your house needs a new roof. Yeah, I've never seen your house, and you've never really complained of leaks or anything, but, you know, I'm here to tell you, you know, your house needs a new roof. And you go, well, it doesn't leak or anything. What do you? Well, hey, Dean, you know what, Dan? Let me just come over there and rip off a few little bit of it, and we'll look at it. Now, I mean, it's crazy because you know what? That doctor wasn't going to cut your chest open and go look around for no money. He wasn't going to do that for free. These guys are all about business, and that's, you know, it's the pharmaceutical companies that have ruined the medical, you know, care in this country. Now, the medical business was ruined in 1973, and that was done by Richard Nixon and, what's his name there, from Kaiser, because that's happened. The HMO Act of 1973, Kaiser gave a big pile of money to Nixon's reelection campaign. And boom, next thing you know, here comes the HMO Act of 1973, which changes it from a community nonprofit-based system to a corporate profit-based system. And that's what the problems are. It's not really Obamacare that's the problem. It's the HMO Act of 1973, and that gives these corporations to deal with other corporations, which basically the pharmaceuticals own all these hospitals. You know, and they'll go, oh, no, this is Kaiser Permanente. Oh, yeah, well, if you go look on the board of Kaiser Permanente, you're going to see a bunch of pharmaceutical people who sit on the boards of these pharmaceutical companies also sitting on the boards of these HMOs. You know, what does that tell you? You know, oh, no, they're not the same. Well, yeah, sorry, they really are the same. You can mask it and veil it, and that's what corporations are meant to do, is to veil the truth, the corporate veil. Okay, that's what they call it, and that's what it is. It's a veil, so you can't see what's really happening. And it's crooked all the way through. But then, you know, the pharmaceuticals, just to make more money, Wendy just on her show quoted an insider in the pharmaceutical company saying that, look, they don't make medicines anymore that are beneficial. They don't look and see, okay, what do we need? What is our problems? Well, we need this. We need something that will do this. And then they go and they develop a drug that will deal with that. That's not how they do things anymore. Now how they do things is, what will people buy? What can we sell? What marketing? And then you get the marketing guy comes in, and I've got this marketing deal for this. I've got this marketing deal for that. And somebody goes, wait a minute, that sounds great. I think people will buy that. Okay, that's it. We're going to produce that. We'll sell that. It doesn't matter what it does or if it does anything. If it does good or bad or whatever, they don't care. As long as they believe they can sell it, they're making it.
Right. And which brings us to this. You know, while I believe in capitalism, capitalism walks a very fine line because it's very easy to fall into the evil of the greed of it. Just like a subject I'm sure you're up on is about the vaccines. Now, you know, I was reading about vaccines, and it says right even in the papers, if you just read the little paper that comes with it, it says that this may not work on you, and that it could probably cause all these other things, and there's nothing to substantiate that it helped you at all, and that if you've had a previous vaccine of a different kind, that you better not have this vaccine, and so on and so forth. But yet, it is so widespread that, you know, that it's just ridiculous. But it's doing nothing. But why is that, Frank? Why is it so widespread?
Well, what exactly widespread?
Well, the use of the vaccine, for flu vaccine.
Well, a lot of it is, you know, people are scared. You know, people are scared. They watch all these television commercials that tell them they're going to die if they get the flu. Oh, it's flu season. Oh, this year we're going to have a really bad flu. Oh, you really need your flu shot. And then they got the signs everywhere, and they make it really convenient, okay? Hey, you can walk into the grocery store and get a flu shot now. You know, they're everywhere. You know, hey, come on in and get your flu shot. And, you know, and you're all going, oh, well, maybe I better do that, you know, because they say it's going to be really bad. And I'm in the age, you know, and then they go, well, okay, you know, if you're the very young, and that's, you know, very, very young, like between 0 and, 40. you know, they tell you you're in the age group that, you know, you're at risk. Or the very old, which they go from 39 to, you know, 100. And they say, well, you're really at risk, and you need this. And, you know, and they scare people into it because, sadly to say, the vast majority of Americans are ignorant. They don't know anything about medicine. They don't know anything about law. They don't know anything about much of anything except what they do every day, you know, whatever their job is, whatever's going on in their family. And, you know, on one hand, you know, people should be allowed to just mind their own business and go about their own things. They don't, why should they be forced to have to deal with all this other stuff? But on the other hand, the reality of it is, we're in this. There are people out there that are enemies, and they are trying to destroy us. So you just can't sit back and be ignorant anymore. I think you should be allowed to, but I'm sorry, I don't make the rules, and I'm not the one attacking you. They are, and they are attacking you. So, you know, what do you do when you're attacked? Do you have the option when you're being attacked not to respond? Well, I guess I'll just sit here and, you know, get beat up or killed or whatever, because I'm not going to do anything. I'm too busy thinking about my own things. Or are you going to say, okay, well, normally I'm not out looking for trouble, but seeing as how you're attacking me, I'm going to have to respond. And that's the situation we're in, whether we like it or not. So people need to, you know, pull their head out of the dark spot and get a clue on what's going on, because the information is readily available for folks. And it's you know, yeah, you can get a marketing, expert to come out and dispute you with BS, but the facts are out there, and this is just the way it is, and people need, you know, and it isn't that people don't believe it, they're ignorant to it.
Right. Well, and that goes into the thing that you know, then you have lobbyists and government, because, you know, we ain't got time to get into this deep, we can do it after break, but we have the lobbyists sell in Congress where they made laws, where, like the mother that was just recently locked up because she wouldn't give her child a vaccine, and those are really dangerous.
Well, yeah, the amount of stuff, I mean, okay, look, here's something that we've been sold to. Since either one of us, and I think you'll agree that since we were children, we've been sold that vaccines are good for you because, well, you go get this vaccine and now you develop an immunity to whatever the disease was that they were giving it to you. And that sounds great, right? Oh, that's nice. Except, you see, it's not necessarily true. Because, okay, what do we hear? Well, you know, you got to come in for your booster. My booster? Didn't you tell me I was going to develop an immunity if I took this immunization? See, they used to call vaccines immunizations.
Right.
There's a difference, isn't there, Dan? Immunization,
yeah,
says that you are now immune. Well, they stopped calling it that and started calling it vaccines because it does not provide immunity. But natural,
right.
If you get the chicken pox, you will never get the chicken pox again. You are immune. If you get the measles, you won't get them again because you're immune. You get a measles shot or a chicken pox shot, you may get the chicken pox or the measles at some time, and you don't have immunity. So the whole theory about that they work in the first place, let's forget about all the poisons and all the dangers. Just the straight thing about does it work or doesn't it work is that question.
And we'll debate that when we come back in 3 minutes.
All right. Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Don't forget to go over to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and check out their other programs over there. There's lots of people over there besides Frank and I. So go over there and check them out. Anyway, I'd like to talk to you a moment about Thanksgiving before we bring Frank back on. Thanksgiving's coming up. And as you all well know, and I hope it's a great a holiday with you as it is with me. I like it so much because, you know, no matter it, people don't, you know, you can say have a great Thanksgiving and everything. And so far, we haven't really started getting all the hatred for it. Now, I know there is a hatred for it, and that's actually from people that sell things, because you know what? They start the Christmas sales and things on Thursday now. I know that in past years, you know, you'd see stores vacant and people, oh, they're with family and everything. But now these generations are all getting ready for the sale. You can drive around on Thanksgiving and see lines outside of stores waiting for them to open, for the people to come in. Well, folks, you know, you need your family much worse than you need those sales. What you can give to your family for Thanksgiving is something that really has bound this country together. You know, it really has. It goes back to the founding of America. And so Thanksgiving is a special thing. And you don't even really have to, people that observe Thanksgiving, you know, whether or not they even believe in God or not, although it's Thanksgiving to our Father. But the point is they're taking that away from you. And that's also the greed, like what we've been talking about in this program. Greed is running everything, and that's evil. Lift the veil from your eyes and see. Now, coming up on this, you know, Messiah's Branch, our mission church in Wichita, that's our busiest day of the year is Thanksgiving. Well, busiest 2 days, because, you know, there's Thanksgiving, and we have Thanksgiving. People say, when are you having Thanksgiving, Pastor Dan? Well, we're having it on Thanksgiving. You know, duh. So we have Thanksgiving, and you get to go through the line and pick out whatever food you want. And if you live in Wichita and you want to come for Thanksgiving, just come for Thanksgiving. We always say we're going to try and serve around 3:30, but, you know, so I'd be there by then. But point is, so you get to go through a line, pick out what you want, put it on the plate, you know, get all them things like the vegetable plate, carrots and dressing, man, and all those things. Oh man, it just all goes together in gravy and turkey and all that stuff. You get to pick that out for yourself. Now, if you come on Friday, you get all the leftovers, which adds up to, we always make sure we have enough turkey, dressing, mashed potatoes, and so on and so forth. But then you get a very loaded plate, but the women put on it, you know, what they have left over but it's a great meal. We have it 2 days in a row. Folks in Wichita, you listen to me, pray about it. You know, if you would like to contribute something other than a cash donation, which we really do need, we'll get to that later. But what do you need for Thanksgiving? Well, start off with, you eat turkey. Hey, the homeless and poor eat turkey. Use dressing? Yeah, you like dressing. Well, the homeless and poor like dressing. Let's see. You eat pumpkin pie. Yeah, you probably do eat pumpkin pie with whipped cream on it and all that. Well, guess what? The homeless and poor, they're really human beings too. They like whipped cream on their pumpkin pie. So you can see where I'm headed with this. Pray about it. We usually have to do 20 or more turkeys. Really, we've got 2 turkeys right now. We need at least 18 turkeys. We've got our potatoes already. Amen. We got those from Michigan. Somebody brought them from Michigan. We've got onions. Amen. But that's about where we're at right now. We need some donations of turkeys. Or we need, you know, it always ends up, even with after the donations, we need about $700-$800 to buy some of the other trimmings that people do it. Usually, there's people that sponsor that, different people. But today, for some reason, we haven't gotten any sponsors this year or any donations for Thanksgiving. In fact, even with the economy going up, donations are at a real low. You know, we're talking about radio, and you're listening on radio, and you love radio. Well, guess what? I haven't paid up all my airtime bill from last month, and another month is due. So pray about supporting radio. If you don't want to donate to the homeless and poor, you know, pray about supporting radio. But pray about it, because, you know, we've been doing this. This is our 18th Thanksgiving, and I don't know. I've been on radio in one form or another since 2001. I think it's about 2007. I think I've been on American Voice Radio. So, you know, apparently the Father does want us here and to be doing these things. So pray about it. You know, back when I started in radio, I started in radio clear back in 2000, and barely anybody was putting their archives on the internet, which now everybody calls podcasts. But we've been putting them up since then, so we've been around a while. Anyway, so pray about supporting Thanksgiving. You know, all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. Now, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And you folks out there in Wichita, you know, there's lots of ways you can get a hold of me. One of them is just walking in the door. So pray about it. And also, you know, we could use coats and things like that. Anyway, we're now back talking with Frank Stephan about many different things. Are you still with us, Frank?
Nope.
Nope. All gone, huh? Oh, well, it's going to be a boring program just to listen to Pastor Dan.
Well, I'm here. Okay. In that case, well, I'm here. You know, you didn't have to threaten us.
Well, that's just the way it is, you know. Anyway. Yeah, we were talking about all the greed. You know, bringing up Thanksgiving, what do you think about that? You know, I remember when I was a few years back, they didn't do any of the Black Friday sales on Thursday, you know what I mean? But now they're pushing it back. And, you know, I can remember just what, like last year or the year before, talking to a young lady that was working in Walmart in the checkout lane. And I said, boy, I bet you're about ready. You can't wait to get off work. You're going to get off time for dinner. She said, dinner? Oh, I'm not going to. We're not having Thanksgiving dinner. We're going to the store. And I do get off early, about 6, and we're going to be getting in line to go get this specific sale. Back to you.
Yeah, it's a sign of the times. I mean, it doesn't bother me as much as, say, 5,000 babies killed every day. You know, it doesn't bother me as much as that does, but it bothered me like last month, okay? Last month. All right, the beginning of October, I'm in Walmart, right? So I'm wandering around, and I was killing some time is what I was doing. So I'm walking around, and I decide, oh, I'm going to go walk out into the you know, where they got the garden section. You know, it's kind of half inside, half outside, you know?
Right.
So I go through the doors and I go out there, and there's no more outdoor anything. It's all Christmas crap.
Yeah.
Loaded with Christmas junk, okay? And I mean junk, you know, stuff that, you know, even if I did Christmas, I wouldn't buy. But the thing is, it's, you know, that was at the beginning of October.
Right.
You know, and then all I see after that is Halloween this and Halloween that, and it's like they have businesses have for the most part wiped Thanksgiving off the map. It's like, nah, it doesn't happen anymore. Even the grocery stores, where you would think, you know, I mean, Thanksgiving, granted, is a far less, probably the least commercialized holiday that we have in this country. I mean, you got the 4th of July. It's all about drinking beer and getting flags and buying, you know, going camping and all this stuff, right? And it's always Halloween's about dressing up, buying costumes, you know, buying tickets to parties and, you know, all these things. Christmas, buying gifts, buying this, buying that. You know, on Thanksgiving, the only thing you had to buy was food, you know, and you would think that at least grocery stores would keep the tradition of, you know, putting up the paper turkeys and all that stuff that they used to do when I was a kid. Just because, you know, hey, you're going to come in here and buy food. Yeah, remember, hey, look, Thanksgiving, remember, you need a lot more food than you would normally. That means you're going to spend more money here, but they don't even bother.
Yeah.
You know, they don't even bother anymore. It's like, no, man. Even they are into the Christmas, you know, hey, look at this, Christmas. Look, the cakes, they're all colored in red and green. You know,
let's go with this. You know, here I see a lot more behind, you know, now granted, I don't know how this country or anybody can live with the fact of the babies being slaughtered in the womb, period. That is a sacrifice to Baal, that whatever, it's, I can't even, if I start talking about it, I'll get mad, I'll cry, everything. It's human beings. But, you know, I see another motive. I mean, you know why it's greed. Yeah, we'll just get rid of this little holiday and we can go straight to Christmas, whatever. But, you know, I think there's a Satanistic thing to it in the sense that, because this is giving thanks to a creator mm-hmm. for the things that he has given us in the last year. And it is, it's like the justice said on TV. You know, there's a glue that holds them. You know, we have common things, and we can talk about this if you want, but there are common things that has always kept America together. One of them is like the 4th of July. We rally around the flag and have fireworks and so on and so forth. And, you know, they're trying to change, the leftists are trying to change that date. Thanksgiving, you know, well, they're trying to wipe out history. Well, let's get rid of Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving goes back to the Pilgrims, and, oh, the Pilgrims are very evil because they came in and they did this and they did that.
Yeah, they killed all the Indians.
Yeah, well, there's a lot more to that story. But I don't want to go into you right now. But the point is it's a tradition that, It's really has been about family. I mean, you know, I can remember when I was a young kid. My mom comes from a big family. You know, she had 12 brothers and sisters. And so we'd always go to either to the park or to my aunt's house that lived out in the country, you know, and we'd go over there, and there are a huge amount of relatives. You know how many relatives 12 children can generate? And so it brought all of these people that you normally, that nowadays you just don't have that much contact with, cousins, aunts, uncles, and everything, and brought them all together. A couple of times I remember them having it in Riverside Park in Wichita, and this park would be just hugely packed, and with what? Family. Family, family, family. And so now, where's the family?
Fed book.
Do what?
Fed book. That's where your family's at. That's where everybody stays in touch with all their relatives nowadays, is Fed book. They get on there and say, oh, look what I had for dinner. Oh, look what I'm drinking. Oh, look how drunk I am. Oh, look at this. Look at that. Look at the kids. Look at that. And they get the whole family on there. And they never need to get together, they feel. Because, oh, well, you know, hey, look, we see pictures. You're on there. And who cares about getting together? You know, that's part of, in my view, my opinion, it's part of losing that natural affection. You know, because families used to like to be around each other, like to go, look forward to meeting Uncle whatever again. I haven't seen him in a year, you know. But now people don't care. Hey, as long as I can see on Fedbook, who cares? It's, you know, same thing. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and you say those uncles that you haven't seen in a while, there's always that weird crazy uncle or aunt or somebody that you want to avoid, you know, that would come, you know.
They were always my favorite.
Yeah, or, you know, they just when I was a kid, we had a couple of, I had an aunt that was that way, that would just be all over me and want to talk to me for hours, you know, and I'd go, oh, I want to go play with the other kids, you know, but, you know what I mean? But it was family. But now, like you say, that Facebook, you know, millennials, now here's a note for you. They would rather socialize in their room on their phone. They don't have a problem with even getting, okay, let's go like this. I still ride a motorcycle, and so I keep up on all the motorcycle things. And Harley Davidson was talking about, a representative for Harley Davidson was complaining because these new generations that are out, they're not running to get their driver's licenses. It's not a high priority for them, and so they're not buying cars, they're not buying motorcycles, and it's hurting the motorcycle industry, it's hurting the car industry, and it's because why? Because they're doing all that stuff on that cell phone, on that Facebook, or as you call it, Fedbook, I guess you called it.
That's what I call it.
And it's taking the place of reality. I mean, you can have two of them sit side by side and talk back and forth on their phones when they're right there. Back to you.
Yeah, well, I see groups of young people walking into stores when I'm in there. And, you know, there's a group of maybe three or four, you know, it's usually girls because guys, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know where they are. But, you know, they don't travel in packs, I guess, because the younger girls seem to. It might be a good thing, too. You know, there's strength in numbers. But they're not talking to each other. They're not looking at each other. They all got their cell phones in their hands, and their thumbs are going 50 miles an hour. And I don't know who they're talking to, but they're not talking to the people standing right next to them. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And here's one for you, especially at this holiday time. If you are walking in the door of a major retail outlet or store, you do not stop in the pathway. If you've got to stop for a second, get out of the pathway, because I had a buddy of that tell me, well, hey, don't just stop, you'll get run over. I said, they're not that disconnected. And I did it a couple of years ago, and I stopped, and I almost got run over by several people that were just, you know, talking on their phones, just walking in, you know, and not even looking, and almost get run over. You know?
Well, now, I just read yesterday, Dan, on this particular subject, that I forgot what city it is, but there is a city now that is putting inflatable balloons around light posts. And the reason why is because people on cell phones have been running into them and hurting themselves. So now they're putting, you know, blow-up balloons around these, you know, like airbags around the light posts, so these idiots don't run into them and hurt themselves. I'm not making this up, okay? I mean, you know, I wish I could... You know, I wish I could take claim to, I just made that up. But I didn't. It's true. It's a real story.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, and there is another city. I didn't see that. I don't think I've seen the one about the airbags. But there's a city that's giving them ticket for walking across the street doing their cell phone, which I do believe in that. I mean, come on, it's so highly dangerous. And, you know, now cell phones are up there passing alcohol and driving as to accidents. People are being slaughtered, and it scares me to death. I don't even hardly want to ride. You know, I still get out and ride my bike once in a while, take the wife for a ride, but we try to stick out here in the country, because if I go the city, you look around, and even though it's against the law to be on your cell phone, you look around and those guys are texting. You have to honk at the street lights because, well, they're looking down on their cell phone, you know, and people are getting killed. Back to you.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and it's you know, it's one of those things. And nowadays, too, there's no reason for it, because there's plenty of things that you can get to put in your cell phone that if you just can't shut your mouth long enough to drive your car downtown without talking to somebody, then, you know what, there's things you can stick in your ear in a microphone and put your cell phone away off to the side, and you can sit there and watch the road and have full movement and still, you know, run your mouth the whole time. And, you know, you should, because it's a lot safer. You're still a little distracted, but then again, you know, the argument could be made, if you're listening to the radio, you're a little distracted, which is true. But then again, driving a car doesn't take your full attention all the time, or else we'd all be dead in car wrecks, you know, already. But, you know, so there's no excuse for it anymore. It's just you're lazy and you didn't bother. So now you should get a ticket because, hey, distracted driving is every bit as dangerous as drunk driving.
Yeah, absolutely. And it isn't even so much the talking, because you just don't, you know, even adults, they don't want to communicate. You know, I see people say, well, can you get a hold of them? I said, okay, I'll text them. Why are you texting them? If you're texting to a phone, can't you call a phone and then you'll know in an instant instead of you wait 30 minutes till they get off a Fed book and then they look and see that there's a text and so on and so forth? And that's even the bigger problem because, you know, like I say, you know, I am a motorcycle enthusiast, I guess is what you'd call it, and I know people that, I mean, people are getting slaughtered by people that are just doing that. They're playing around on their cell phone and not talking to people, but they're doing things, looking on Facebook, looking on Instagram, doing this and that and the other. In the meantime, they're just running over people. Back to you.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's and there's no, honestly, there ought to be, and all these children with cell phones, you know, I mean, and parents have, talk about ignorant, okay? Parents will tell you, well, Junior's got to have a cell phone, because if something happens to Junior and Junior needs my help, Junior has to be able to call me right away. Oh, yeah? Well, gee, when I was Junior, somehow I got through life without having a cell phone, and I didn't call my parents every 5 seconds about anything. And you know what? These kids aren't either. They're calling their friends. They're making dates. They're, you know, making, setting up drug deals. They're doing all kinds of things on their phones that I don't think mommy and daddy would approve of. But the thing is, the fact is, Junior doesn't need that kind of connectivity. Junior needs to pay attention to what he's doing. And the thing is, what about the radiation? You know, in Europe, they do not allow children, I think you have to be 16 or over, to have a cell phone, because they have determined that the radioactiveness of your phone, the microwaves coming through your phone, affect young children because their heads are still in development, and they, you know, these microwaves do a lot more damage to their development than it does an adult. I mean, it still does us damage, but, you know, we're pretty much already developed. You know, so maybe we'll grow some tumors or something, but it won't mess up our development. These guys, their IQs will stop right where they're at. They can't go any further because their brains have been damaged by all these microwaves. So Europe says, no, you got to be, you know, you got to be a certain age before you're allowed to have a cell phone. And over here, we're just the opposite, squealing that, no. My 8-year-old has to have the iPhone 10 because they have to be able to contact me at a moment's notice. And they even gripe and complain when, like at school or whatever, they say, okay, look, put up your cell phones and turn them off. But what if I have to contact Junior? Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you could do like what my mom and dad had to do. You call the school and you tell them, hey, tell Junior this or what, whatever. You know? I mean, you know, people are ridiculously ignorant. It's not funny either because, I mean, it would be if it only affected their stupid lives, but it doesn't. It affects everybody around them, too.
Right. And, you know, and so it really boggles. Yeah, that really boggles my mind. I mean, when I was a kid, we played. It was Be Back by Dark. And right. I was a little kid running around on a Stingray bike, and I'd get miles from home. Yep. I mean, miles from home. But I was Back by Dark. You know, and as long as I was Back by Dark or in the summer, and, you know, in the summertime or something, we'll make sure you get dinner someplace. Well, whatever. I lived through all that.
Yeah, me too. Color, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And we did everything. But this generation, I really worry about them. Can they survive? What if there was, you know, what if it was an EMP? Could they take care of anything if they lost electricity?
Well, eventually, yeah, but, you know, the amount of people that would die first is going to be astronomical. I mean, honestly, it's a real thing. And, you know, I want to point out to people, it doesn't have to be the evil empire of fill in the blank. Who's the evil empire today?
North Korea, I think.
Oh, you sure it's not Russia?
It might
well,
be
we
Russia.
Could, you know what? We could have a raffle. And say,
yeah. China, we throw China in there. Oh, I don't know. How about Alabama?
But whoever,
I love Alabama. That was a slip of the tongue.
Oh, come on. Now, whoever's the evil empire today, you know, it doesn't have to be them doing the EMP and shutting down our grid. It could be the sun. Yeah. People have no idea. Look, all this idea about people's lawnmowers and farting cows are causing climate warming and all this stuff is just baloney. Look up. See that big burning ball in the sky? That's the thing that controls our weather. Now,
right. Sure,
do I believe in HAARP and all those things? Yeah, I believe they can manipulate things and maybe move existing storms and make it rain here and not there. Sure, but overall, the big deals, no. It's the sun is the big deal. That's the big deal. And if it spits coronal mass ejection in our direction, we're going to have a real bad time with that.
Right. I can't remember. It was either 1918 or 18 something that we did have one of those.
Yep.
And it was pretty bad.
It went down at the time, all we had was telegraph lines, okay, along the railroads, and it burned them all out.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Absolutely. Well, Frank, happens every time. You know, we run out of time. Tell the folks where they can find you.
American Voice Radio Network and AmericanVoiceRadio.com actually is the website. And I'm on at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Of course, Friday I don't do a nighttime show, but I do, you can hear the daytime show at 8 p.m. But I do 2 hours on Monday night, so I make up for it there. 10 hours a week and right here on AVRN.
All right, Frank, we'll talk again.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, bye-bye. Well, folks, again, pray about Thanksgiving. And we were going to have somebody on today from IntelliHub, but, you know, they didn't show up. But we had a great program today. Share it with other people. And try to do Thanksgiving. Try to do something. You know, it's important. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We do really need your help. But really, folks, you need to remember one thing. And if you don't remember anything else, remember that there is only one God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose. I don't know where that came from. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.